Yeah, go right ahead, Mom. Yeah, help yourself.
Yesterday morning, I took Wayne to the emergency room. I was really scared. I think I thought of everything in the world but just vertigo or fluid by his ears. I was so afraid they were going to come back and say that cancer was back and it's
yeah.
I was just horrified. And I was just praying all the way to the hospital. Sometimes we forget to give God the glory for just a small
thing. Amen.
But it wasn't a small thing to me when the doctor came in and said it was vertigo. I thought, we can handle that.
Yeah.
Vertigo.
Amen.
As long as he stays off his face in the driveway.
Yeah.
I just thank God for it. It could have been so much worse.
Yeah.
He's been so merciful, and I just want to give him glory.
Amen. Boy, he's worthy, isn't he? Enjoyed that singing this morning. Guys, what a blessing. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to 1 Chronicles, chapter number 21. Be 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. That's in your Old Testament. If you find the book of Psalms right in the middle, go backwards and you'll run into 1 and 2 Chronicles. All right? 1 Chronicles, chapter number 21. Y'all pray for my voice this morning. I woke up. I think I've swallowed a frog and he's crossed his legs. Amen? Anyway, pray we can get this little thought out this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. Say amen when you're there.
Amen.
1 Chronicles chapter 21. Just keep your Bible open right there. I'm just going to look at one verse of Scripture to start with this morning. Then we'll look at a couple of more as we go through the message this morning. But I want you to look with me at verse number 15. 1 Chronicles chapter number 21 and verse number 15. The Bible said, and God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. Now understand why the angel is there. To destroy it.
Yeah.
You understand when God destroys something, it's destroyed.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Yes,
we can follow history a little bit. When God destroyed the earth with a flood, it was destroyed. God doesn't play. Amen? We need to understand that. God doesn't play. When God does business and when God brings judgment, it is for real.
Yes, sir.
And it's serious. I believe God, I don't think he'll destroy the world again with a flood because he said he wouldn't. I believe he will destroy it one day with fire.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And by the grace of God, we'll be out of here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I believe that will happen. But I do believe God does still judge. In this day we live, when some prominent religious figure, I was thinking back during the 9/11 crisis when the terrorist attacked our country, and Jerry Falwell, who's dead, he's in heaven now, but he said something about the judgment of God, and the media and all the social network, man, they crucified him for saying God had anything to do with that, because God is such a God of love, and God would not judge, but listen, God is a God of love, but the only thing that equals the love of God is the wrath of God. Amen. If there's anybody you don't want mad at you, it's the Lord. Amen. I'd rather have him on my side. How about you? So the Lord sends an angel to destroy Jerusalem. And as he was destroying, if you're still looking at verse 15, the Lord beheld and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. I'm glad when God says it's enough.
Yeah.
Let me say that again.
Yeah.
I said, I'm glad when God says it's enough.
Amen.
Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. I'm glad when God sends judgment, God can also lift that judgment.
Yes,
I'm glad. Hey, how much does it take God to get your attention? I look at people's lives, Brother Freddie, and I wonder sometimes, when are they going to get it? When are they going to wake up? What else is it going to take for them to throw up their hands and say, okay, God, I hear you loud and clear? Amen. And they blame their circumstance and they blame their trouble on this and that and the other thing, and it just goes around and around, and it seems like they live in a cycle of trouble. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? It seems like they go out of one trial and into another one, right back into another trial and into another one. It's battle and battle and battle. No victory in their life. They never stand up and give a good testimony. It's always a bad testimony. I'm in this trouble. Hey, when are you going to wake up and realize maybe that God's trying to get your attention, and you need to ask God and say, God, when is it enough? When is it enough? I got looking at this guy named Ornan, and he had a threshing floor. I've always been interested in that threshing floor. Several years ago, my wife and I and our children went to Waldorf, Maryland for the first time, I believe it was 18 years ago, to preach a revival meeting. And we went to Mount Vernon. That's the home place of George Washington. And we toured Mount Vernon, and on that farm, it was a working farm. We went out to this barn, and it's an octagon-shaped barn, and they had the whole story how George Washington invented that barn. It had a upstairs and a downstairs, and the upstairs, it was octagon-shaped to where the cattle or the mule or whatever could trod around the top and walk on the wheat, and the grain would fall through the cracks in the floor down to the bottom. That was a threshing barn. That's what threshing is. You are getting the good out of the wheat. But Ornan is in his threshing floor. We'll find, I believe, here in verse number 20 in just a little bit when we look at it. Ornan was in the threshing floor. Now, I want you to get this very good. If you don't get this, you'll miss the whole entire thought this morning. Where was Ornan? In his threshing floor. He was threshing wheat. We'll find that out. If he's threshing wheat, it's a good chance he's in his threshing floor. Yeah. Now, God sends this angel to destroy Jerusalem. And when God stops the angel in verse number 15, where is the angel? He's standing beside Ornan's threshing floor. Now, in verse number 21, we see that David sees the angel. And he has a sword drawn and blah, blah, blah. And David goes on and says, why are you judging these? It's my fault. I numbered the people, blah, blah, blah. Put it on me. It's my bad. Don't hurt them. But I don't know if Ornan saw the angel or not. What I'm trying to say this morning was, how close was Ornan? The angel is moving through the land, if you will, and he's destroying Jerusalem. In other words, wherever the angel goes, nothing is left behind him. It's done, it's over. Utter destruction. He gets up to the threshing floor where Ornan is threshing his wheat, and God, for some reason, says, stop right there. I picture Ornan like you and I going through our day to day, and he has no idea of the destruction that's going on around him and in his town. He's in the barn. He's threshing his wheat. He has no idea that close outside the door was utter destruction. Do you ever wonder what the grace of God has allowed you to escape? Have you ever wondered if God could just pull the veil or the cover back off of your eyes and allow you to see how good God's grace has been in your life on a day in and a day out basis? Man, we preached an average of 2 funerals a month last year. We've buried people from this big to 100. You walk through the graveyard, you'll find every date under the sun. Death is no respecter of persons. Do you ever hear of these tragic things that are going on in our society and going on in our world, and you think, boy, thank the Lord that wasn't me? Do you ever do that? You ever hear about things that come in other people's lives and you watch the news? The news will put you on antidepressant, by the way. Amen. Why don't they ever have good news? I'd like to start my own news channel, and we'll just call it good news. That's what the gospel is. Amen. I'd just like to start it every day with, welcome to Good News America. Jesus saves. Amen. Thank God. I'd like to have a good news channel that told nothing but good news. This happened today, and it was good. This happened today, and it was a blessing. This happened today, and it was great. How about that? Probably nobody would watch it. We are tragedy driven, aren't we? We love hearing other people's misery. But do you ever stop and wonder why it's not your misery? Do you ever stop and wonder why the angel stopped at your threshing floor? While you're going throughout your day-to-day routine and doing what you normally do, and we're going to find out in a few more verses, Ornan wasn't, oh, there's an angel outside. Oh, the land is in destruction. He kept working. He just kept working. That's why I think Ornan had no idea this angel was standing outside with his sword drawn. I mean, if God just opened your eyes, all of a sudden there was an angel standing there with a sword in his hand, would you freak out a little bit? I had a dream on the airplane one time. I always sleep when I fly. I was sitting on the airplane, and I always, if I don't get a window seat, I request it. And because you can lean up against the wall, and it makes a pretty good pillow. And it's better than sitting in the middle between two very wide people. Amen. And I've been there. Amen. They make pretty good pillows too. But anyway, I was leaned up against the wall, and I was sound asleep. And I was dreaming that I was on an airplane. Go figure. I was dreaming I was on an airplane, and as I was dreaming, I dreamed that I woke up, but I didn't wake up. I was dreaming, and I looked out the window, and there was an angel sitting on the wing, and I woke up, and I was scared to look out the window. I really was. I was like, I wanted to tell the very wide person sitting next to me, would you look out this window and tell me if they, no, I didn't, but I did. I finally looked over, and I thought, but something in my heart said, just because you can't see him.
That's right. Amen.
Just because you cannot see him with your natural eye doesn't mean that he's not sitting there.
Yeah. That's right.
I've read about plane crashes, and I've saw newscasts about plane crashes, and I often wonder as I'm on an airplane, God, is this thing flying because I'm on here? You say you think a lot of yourself. No, God does. Is this thing making it from destination A to destination B because I'm on here? Give it some thought. Why are you here this morning? You should be dead. Coming to church this morning, I don't know how many times we escaped death by about that much. And so did you. All it would take is for one of those vehicles running 65 miles an hour on Highway 61 just to swerve a little and take us out. But for some reason, God has chosen to show us his mercy and to show us his grace. Now, listen, it could be us tomorrow. We could be headline news. You could be the next tragedy coming down the road. But for some reason, God has you here today. And I got to look at this guy named Ornan in his life. Why did God stop the angel at Ornan's door? The angel is traveling through Jerusalem. He's destroying everything. He's got his sword. I mean, buddy, he's cutting heads and taking names. And he gets right up to Ornan's threshing floor, and God says, whoa, don't go any further. Stop right there. I want us to look at this guy, Ornan, just for a few minutes this morning. But I want us to think about ourselves. Why? Have you ever asked yourself, why am I here? Why am I here? I ask myself all the time, why am I preaching this funeral and not the one laying in his box?
Amen.
I don't deserve to be standing here. I deserve to be laying there. I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve his mercy. But for some reason, God has chosen to leave me here another day, another week, another month, another year. And for some reason, God has chosen to leave you here. I am preaching to people this morning who really, in all reality, you ought to be pushing up daisies down here at Melrose Cemetery. Amen. You should be remembered by marble stones sitting at your head. There are people here this morning, Brother Anthony, who should have died as he fell off our roof. Amen. Sister Ashley, who survived the cancer, and on and on and on and on. And these are big deals, but I wonder, and we focus on those and we look at those, but I wonder about all of us individually.
if we could just see outside the threshing floor.
Amen.
If we could see what we just missed yesterday. I wonder if it would cause us to say, I'm here for something.
Right.
One lady had on her back bumper of her little minivan, "Born to Shop." I would shoot myself. If that was all life was shopping. I'm not born to shop. I'm born to wait on my wife while she shops. I'm gonna invent my own bumper sticker. Amen. Amen. My wife loves the Goodwill. Can I get a witness? Anybody like the Goodwill? My wife loves the Goodwill. And there's one in every direction you go. And a lot of times we go out and we're making our rounds. And she plans this. And I'm just now starting to figure out. She plans this so that in our route, wherever we've got to, we've got to do this and we got to do that. And it just dawned on me that everything we got to do goes right by one of them four Goodwills. And I've just figured out that's not really used stuff. They make that somewhere because every Goodwill has the exact same thing. And there's absolutely nothing in there for a man to look at. Absolutely nothing. There ain't even a bench to sit on. Anyway, born to shop. I believe my life consists more than shopping. One guy had a bumper sticker on his car. It said, "I wish I was sailing." And I thought, I wish you were too. Anywhere but in front of me, Jack. Get in your boat and go. Amen. We are here for a reason. God put us here for a purpose. My life is not just to make a paycheck and put groceries on the table every week. God has a purpose for me being here. Why did God stop the angel at Ornan's threshing floor? Furthermore, why did God stop the angel at my door? Why did my neighbor die and not I? Why did my high school friends die and not I? Let's look at a couple of things right quick and I'll get you out of here. Would you look at verse number 20? Verse number 20. It'd help if I'd get in the right chapter. Verse number 20. The Bible said, "And Ornan turned back and saw the angel." Now he sees him. "And his four sons with him hid themselves." Now Ornan was what?
Threshing
wheat. When God found Ornan, Ornan was working. Ornan was working. He was a busy guy. The town is falling down around his feet and he has no idea because he is working. Listen, God shows favor to those who will put their hands to the plow and not look back. God blesses work. Are we okay? Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying maybe God has spared us because we have a job to do. God has spared us. God has stopped the angel at our threshing floor because he has a purpose for our life. We have a work to be done. Amen. We're living in a day where everybody wants somebody else to work for them. You work. Oh, I got to be careful. You go to work. You earn money. You provide me with my health benefits. You go to work, you make money, you provide me with my groceries.
Amen.
That's not Bible.
That's right.
Boy, I won't get any popularity votes this morning, but that is not Bible. God said a man that don't work, don't eat. I'm all for government helping those who need it. Emphasis on need it. I'm for disability if you're disabled.
Amen.
It ticks me off to no end to pull up at Walmart and watch some guy with a handicap tag hanging on his rearview mirror pull in a handicap parking lot and get out and walk better than I do.
That's
while my grandmother in a wheelchair has to circle and look for a spot. I apologize, but I fantasize about cutting his tires. I said I fantasize about it. I go in Walmart and go through the sporting goods store and look at the knives. I think, God blesses people who work. God provides and takes care of people who can't, and I thank God for that. But buddy, if we've got health in our body and we're still blowing in and sucking in and blowing out, we're vertical instead of horizontal. Hey man, bless God, we ought to be about the Father's business and doing something. What is God's purpose here for you? You saw what Arnon was threshing wheat. That sounds like an ordinary job. Yeah, but it was his job. I get sick of hearing people complain about their job. I guarantee you, if I weren't preaching this message this morning, I could make a statement like, who hates their job? And a bunch of people would raise their hand this morning. Go trade places with those in the unemployment line tomorrow. I hate my job, sir. You can have mine. You better thank God you got health. I know people who cannot work. I thought about my dad, who's at home this morning, fell in the driveway, looked like he'd been in a bar fight. I told Mom, I said, he didn't fall in no driveway. He got kicked out of a juke joint somewhere. I mean, brother, he looked jacked up from the floor up. Did you see that? I mean, boy, he looked bad. But he had that vertigo. I don't know what that means, except that he's dizzy and fell on his face on the concrete. Somebody called me yesterday, as a matter of fact, it was my little sister, and her pipes had frozen in her ceiling and flooded her house, and I thought, boy, Pop could run over here and fix this just that quick. And boy, I thought, I bet he'd love to be able to. I know him. I bet he'd love to be able to run over here and fix that and tell the landlord what his problems are. And you know, I guarantee you, Pop, he'd have an opinion on the whole matter. And he could run over there with his little, if you know my Pop, he has a little short bus. Yeah. And we gave it to him. The church had it. And we gave him the little bus, and he made a plumbing truck out of it. And he's got everything you could ever imagine for plumbing inside that bus. But he's not able to do it anymore. Man, we ought to thank God that we got an ability. I woke up this morning and I felt like calling in sick today. I really did. I think I got some vertigo. Now that I know what that is, I mean, my head feels like it weighs 100 pounds. I told my son, I said, I got this big old huge outline. Can y'all imagine if I had 4 or 5 pages of notes? It'd be bad, wouldn't it? I got this big old huge outline. I said, son, if I fall out, I'm just going to leave that laying there on the pulpit, and you tagged it. I don't know how you're going to do that from the balcony, but anyway, you may just have, hey, listen, man, I'm glad. I just got a little stuffy head, and my head stopped up, and I can't hardly hear, and my ears are stopped up, but bless God, I'm doing pretty good considering. I'm doing way better than that guy laying up yonder at Jay Collins Funeral Home this morning. I'm doing way better than that man down there in the ICU. Hey, I'm way yonder better than that man down there in solitary confinement in the prison. Hey, that's where I ought to be. And I'm doing way better than that rich man in hell this morning. God has a reason for me to be here. Part of that reason, I think, may be that I have a work to do. Part of that reason, you know what you need to be doing? You need to be finding out what your job is. I ain't talking about working at the Board of Education. I ain't talking about being an electrician or working for Mr. Sparky or being an HVAC technician or a nurse or whatever the case may be. I'm not talking about your vocation. I'm talking about your calling. Yes, sir. Yeah. What work is it that God has for you to do? And by the way, your vocation for God is not to just take up 18 inches, in some cases 36 inches of pew. Our purpose in life is not to hold down a piece of wood this big. I'm glad you're there. I'm glad you're sitting in a pew this morning. But there's more to it than that.
There is a life you can touch. I've been squeamish all morning, and the bus workers came over. Brother Greg came over and said, "Hey, we're having the X Factor games. The bus workers are fixing to eat sardines. You got to come watch." I walked in the gym and I went, "Them wasn't sardines, man. Them things were that big." Sardines come in a can, Brother Freddie. They're like that. Those things were, man, those were mullet. I don't know what it was. And stunk to high heaven. That old big black cat that's took up around here. I walked out the door and he's sitting in front of the gym going, nom, 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 nom. I had an idea. Put some antifreeze in them sardines. Never mind. I'm kidding, we're not going to kill the kitty. I'm on the radio, right? It's a joke, I'm teasing. Go get the kitty, I'll pet him in front of everybody so you'll feel better. You say, man, that's crazy. Those kids are enjoying it. They invited their friends to come to church to hear the gospel so they could see their bus captain eat a sardine. I don't know what your work may involve. It may involve eating a sardine. I hope they're on to something else by the time they involve us, brother. Well, we will revolt. Amen. I'd have to be really, really hungry. I don't know what our work involves, but there is a work. God did made you for something. He didn't make you for a reason. It wasn't a shop. It wasn't to sail. It wasn't to fish. I was watching Mandy walking out with that new baby. I think being a good mama is a pretty high calling. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of them today who take that for granted. We're going to preach about that tonight. There's a lot of them who take it for granted that God gave them children. Amen. I remember Ashley one time when she was little. She was in high school. She wanted to ride home from church with me on a Sunday night. When we was riding home, I could tell she wanted to talk. I said, "What's the matter, honey?" She said, she started crying. She said, "Daddy, I don't want to go to Bible college." I said, "I never said you had to." I said, "What do you want to do?" She said, "I'll never forget this as long as I live." She said, "I want to be a good wife and I want to be a mother." That was her dream. And I thought, you know, a lot of parents would say, you can do better than that. You can make something of yourself. I would rather know that she's a good wife to my son-in-law. I would rather know that while he's in Atlanta protecting the citizens of Atlanta, while he's putting his life on the line every night of the week, while he's endangering himself, I'm glad that he doesn't have to worry in his mind, is my wife out running up and down the roads? Is she in the bars? Is she fooling around on me? I'm glad he has peace in his heart that his little wife is at home taking care of her children and that she'll be there for him when he gets. Thank God for some people who just say, "I want to be a mama and a wife." Pretty good vocation. I don't know. What I'm saying is God spared Ornan because he had a work to do. He had a work to do. Look at verse number 18. I've got to hurry real quick. I've got about three more points, so y'all just hold on. Verse number 18, the Bible said, "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and set up an altar unto the Lord." Watch where? In the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. God says, "David, I want you to go and erect an altar." Where? In the threshing floor. Wait a minute now. Ornan's life is picking up purpose. First, we found that he had a work to do. He was threshing wheat. He was going about his daily business. But now, wait a minute. God wants an altar where he was working. God might have spared Ornan because he had a work to do, but God spared Ornan because he was hospitable or welcome to worship. There's a whole lot of people who'd say, "Don't bother me with that. We've got stuff to do." Not Ornan. An altar? You want to worship God? You want to praise God? You want to thank God for his goodness? Yeah, come on in. Come on in. Man, not only should we be found working, but we should be found welcoming worship in our life. Amen. Worship is a strange thing to people in this day which we live. Nobody worships anymore. Let me rephrase that. Nobody worships God anymore. We've got people who worship government. Oh, yeah. We've got people who worship talent. Do you know how many, even in churches, next Sunday night will move their pulpits out of the way, even if they have a pulpit, and they'll play the Super Bowl on a big screen in God's house? They worship that stuff. They worship Peyton Manning. I don't know him. Pretty good quarterback. I got people getting mad right now. I'll kick your God every chance I get. It'll be a cold day in the booger man's living room before Beyonce sings in here during halftime. Y'all okay? It'll be a cold day in the booger man's living room before Budweiser sponsors a service here. Amen. Ornan was welcoming worship in his place of business. Come on in. Let's worship God. Hey, we ought to walk in this place Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and say, brethren, we have met to worship. We're not here to gossip. I'm not here to update my Facebook. Put your phone in your purse, ma'am. Seriously, now, put it up. Just as soon as that thought went through my mind, I'm looking at somebody out there doing this. Oh, yeah. I hope you're embarrassed. You should be. Hey, man, you don't need to be sending nobody no text right now. You hadn't read the one you got. Our mind ought to be on worship as we come in this place. As the choir gets up there and starts singing, hold on. Thank God I got something to hold on to. Thank God I got hope. Thank God I got help. Thank God I got a healer. Thank God, hey, I got everything I need to hold on. Hey, I got reason to worship this morning. My daughter stood up there this morning, started to sing and couldn't get it out. Somebody looked at her, probably maybe a first-time visitor, like, oh, she's afraid, she's nervous. No, she's more comfortable standing there singing than you are sitting in that pew. No, she got stirred emotionally. Oh, that's just emotionalism. Sure it is. So was that sour look on your face. Y'all all right? Happy and crabby, they're both emotions. I take happy, amen. Somebody help me right there. Man, she got emotional. Why? She's thinking about what she's singing. It wasn't just words coming out of her mouth. It was words coming up out of her heart. And she began to worship and thank God. That's what those tears were. They were worship. There ought to be more tears in the house of God. There ought to be more shouting in the house of God. There ought to be more clapping in the house of God. Hey, if you can't shout, you can't clap, stomp your feet or, Brother Shane, your foot, wherever you at. Whatever you got, man, we ought to make some noise. Amen. If you can sleep here, go right ahead. If you can go to sleep in our services, you help yourself, you need it. You're in bad need of sleep, amen. That's why I don't ever mess with nobody when they go to sleep. Brother CJ, he's back yonder, he's bad. He's sat right up here by Brother James. You got CJ's spot, Brother James. He's sat right there on Sunday morning. I'll be preaching old CJ. Look at him, his head is red. I like that. It looks good on you, CJ. I mean, boy, they work him hard down there at that elementary school. They must. He sit there on Sunday morning like a chicken pecking corn. And every now and then he do this. Amen. I just let him rest. I started one Sunday, he is nodding off. I started just stopping and say, shh, y'all be quiet. CJ's trying to sleep. You okay, CJ? He's awake now, I guarantee you. Ornan was found working. Ornan was hospitable toward worship. Watch this, I'm almost done. In verse number 21. Verse number 21, I'll give you these last two right quick. Verse number 21. I have done switched chapters again. I don't know how that keeps happening. The Bible said, and as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David. You got to understand who David is. He's king. He's the authority. Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Ornan was found working. We're talking about why God spared him, why the angel stopped at his door. And we need to wonder why the angel stopped at our door.
Amen.
He had a work to do. He welcomed worship. But not only that, he welcomed his king. He welcomed the authority in our life. God doesn't work in some of our lives because we don't want him to. We want God to have part in this, our Sunday morning hour together. But leave me alone once I walk out that door. David, the king, did not meet Ornan at church. He came to where he lived. When Jesus found Zacchaeus up the tree, y'all remember that? He told Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He said, because I'm going home with you today. Going where? Home. Home. I wonder, would Jesus feel welcome at your house? David stopped at Ornan's. Why? That's where God told him to go. God said, I want you, there's a guy down there named Ornan. He's got a threshing floor. I want you to build an altar there. I want you to go there and find this guy working. I want you to go there and find this guy because he's willing to worship. And I want you to go there and find this guy because he'll open his door to you. I want to be a man who will always open my door to the Lord, whatever the case may be. We were talking, Brother Shea Talent and I, we had Hayden's birthday party yesterday at the skating rink. Oh boy, I'm telling you, we had a good time. I had to repent after I got done dancing out there on that skating rink. Amen. Katie kept telling me all week, we're going to race. I'm going to smoke you. I'm going to blow you away. Yeah. She come ask me this morning, how old are you, 22? Are you sore? I said, I ain't a bit sore. She's sore this morning. I smoked her, by the way. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, Brother Shea Talent. Brother Shea Talent was there, and we were talking about missionaries who call us every week. I get an average of 3 to 5 missionary calls every week, missionaries on deputation. And I made this statement to Shea, and I thought about it after I said it. I said, thank God I'm not a missionary on deputation. Thank God I'm not a missionary on deputation. And something inside my heart and my head said, would you if I ask you to?
Amen.
Would you be willing to do whatever? I believe Ornan was spared because he was working. He was hospitable toward worship. He was welcome. He welcomed his king, but then he was willing. Look with me at the last verse, and we're done. Verse 23. The Bible said, and Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. Watch the last 4 words of that verse. I give it all. I give it all. He wasn't asking for his camper, his RV. Wasn't asking for his four-wheeler. Wasn't asking for his recreation, is what I'm trying to say. He's asking for his living. David says, I need this threshing floor. Ornan says, wait a minute. I'm going to give you the instruments. I'm going to give you the wheat. Here, take it all. It's all yours. I give it all. He was willing. Well, thank God the Lord is a lot like David was. David said, no, you're going to get a fair price. And David paid him for it. Aren't you glad God knows how to pay us for what we do? And he pays pretty well. That's not why we do it. That's not why Ornan sold his threshing floor. He didn't even say, I'll sell it to you. He said, I give it. I give it all. He was willing. God notices willingness. Over the years in this ministry, I don't know how many times I've had people come to me and say, Brother Eddie, God's dealing with me about this. God's dealing with me about that. God's dealing with me about leaving and going here or there. Had one of my deacons, I don't know where he's at, Brother Warren, somewhere in the house, there he is, come to me one day, said, I'm afraid the Lord's dealing with me to go so-and-so. I thought, nah. You ate too much pizza before you went to bed. I went home, I actually prayed about it. I really did, I prayed. I said, Lord, show him how stupid he is. Really, that's about the basis of my prayer. God didn't want him to go where he thought God was wanting him to go. God just wanted to know if he's willing.
Amen.
Sometimes God may put something on your heart to see if you're willing, and then he may really want you to go. But sometimes God just wants to know if you're willing. I think about Abraham. Brother Todd, y'all can come and get me a song. I think about Abraham as he's leading his son Isaac up the mountain, and God tells him to go and offer his son for a burnt offering, his only son who he loves. And he's got Isaac bound and laid on the altar for a burnt offering. I can see Abraham as he raises up that knife and he's fixing to take the life of his son. And God said, whoa, Abraham. What God's saying in essence is, Abraham, I don't want Isaac. I just want to see if you're willing. I just want to know if you're willing. What is the work God has in your path, in your life? What is God's will for your life? Are you willing to even consider it? I know people who are sitting in this building who have been running from the Lord for a long time. You're supposed to be doing something and you know it. You know what it is, and in some cases, I know what it is. But yet you sit there and wonder why you're so miserable. You wonder why it is I'm so miserable. Why can't I just be happy like other people are happy? Maybe if you'd just surrender this morning and say, God, I'll do it. Whatever it is, God, I'll do it. Whatever it is, God, I'll do it. Hey, you might be able to free yourself up where you could worship. If you'd be willing to work, it's a whole lot easier to worship. It's a whole lot easier to worship in here when I put something into it. Amen. Brother, when I stayed up late last Saturday night praying, begging God for direction, praying for Brother Bruce, our missionary that was here last Sunday, while the choir was singing, people started coming and getting saved. I had a spell right here. You know why? I had some work involved. I had some work invested in that service. Amen. I put some effort in it. You put effort in it, you'll get something out of it. He was found working. He was hospitable or welcoming to worship in his house. He welcomed the king in his life. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in and sup with him, he and me. I wonder if he's knocking at your door this morning. I wonder if you do with the Lord like you do at the house when the phone rings. If that's for me, I'm not here. I wonder if God is knocking at your heart this morning, say, hey, I'd like to come in and be a part of your life. I wonder if you'd welcome the king this morning. I wonder if you'd welcome him into your life. I wonder, Lashley, would you just be willing? Whatever it is. I wonder if anybody's got guts enough to get on this altar this morning and say, God, here it is. I give it all. I give it all. Whatever that means, God. Whatever you want in my life, here it is. I surrender. It's yours. God may say, here's the check. I really didn't want you to give it to me. I just want to know if you was willing. And God may say, you know exactly what I want you to do. You just need to surrender and do it. Quit asking. And God may just really show you what He wants you to do with your life. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Spared from utter destruction. For some reason, that angel stopped at Ornan's door. God had a purpose for his life. God has spared me and God has spared you time and time again. There must be a purpose. There must be a reason. Let's bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's one here today. So, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved. But I'd sure like to get that settled in my heart. Hey, I'd like to pray for you. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. Just like to pray for you this morning. You said, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure if I died right now where I'd spend eternity. Please pray for me. If you just slip up your hand, put it right back down. We just pray for you this morning. Preacher, I'm not sure. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to get this settled in my heart. Anybody? How about this morning? Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Ain't no doubt about it. But I believe just like Ornan, God's left me here for a reason. I probably should have died time and time again. But God must have a purpose for my life. Preacher, pray I find it. And pray I get at it. How about that? Hands all over this building. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for a good day. Thank you for these, Father, who are already on the altar responding to your word this morning. Lord, there are others who need to come. You saw every hand. You know every heart. Lord, just please have your way in this altar call. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.